Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, last time we read an episode, it was Matthew chapter 12.
Sure as fuck was.
Yeah, and in that one, we had Jesus working on the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And we had him getting in. They were fighting with the Pharisees or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also the Queen of Sheba made a surprise appearance.
The Queen of the South.
Queen of the South, I'm sorry.
We don't know that it was the Queen of Sheba.
Whatever. She didn't make a surprise appearance, but she got mentioned, mm-hmm. which I was like, damn.
What the fuck?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then Jesus's mom and brother showed up. And he wouldn't talk to him because he's like, nah, you ain't my family. These are my family.
He's like, I'll tell you who my fam is.
Like, that's,
you don't tell me who my fam is. Nuts. I tell you who my fam is.
Yeah.
And if I was his mom, I would have hurt feelings.
I would. Right? I didn't like that. I'm like, mm-mm. That's kind of ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Whom's the fuck?
Right?
Do you think you is, sir?
Before we get into today's episode, I do have one announcement to make, and that is that we do have a new Patreon member.
What?
Yeah. So I'd like to thank Mark M.
Mark M?
Yeah. They subscribed at the Iron level, and I would just like to say thank you so much for subscribing and helping us out. It really means a lot to us, and every little bit helps for sure.
Thank you, Markham.
Yeah. You want to help us out? You can go to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. And you can subscribe for as low as $1 and help us towards our goal of independence from, you know...
The man.
The man. And do
damn
our
the man.
And this is all we do, because, like, that would be so cool.
That would be fun.
It really would. Okay, so that being said, we just got done with Matthew chapter 12,
mm-hmm.
which means that today we're going to be reading...
Little Maddie chapter 13. And thanks again, Markham.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Okie dokie. All right, we are getting into Little Maddie, chapter 13.
Okay.
And it's a doozy.
You said it was long.
Yeah.
So Jesus got a lot to say in this
He's got a lot to say. I'm not thrilled about it. Not looking forward to it. Because I'm telling you, Jesus has been pissing me off.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Same.
I don't like the way... Last chapter went. It made me kind of unhappy with him.
Right. Yeah. He's not coming across as wonderful and great as I thought he was.
Yeah.
I actually I had one of our Patreon members recommend a podcast episode, and I can't remember everything, like the name or anything like that. Maybe I'll link to it in the show notes. But it basically says that, you know, part of it was that Christians today don't follow any of Jesus' sayings.
Hmm, so we're not crazy.
No. It's a thing. And also, you know, if they, whatever. This whole thing is so not right.
It's so
compared
not
to
right.
What we know about Christianity.
Yeah.
Right?
It's so not right.
Right. That's all.
You were very succinct.
I don't know why I brought up the episode other than it kind of confirmed some of my thoughts and some of my ideas, and I really appreciated it, which, like I said, I'll probably link to it in the show notes.
I was
going to
say, what was the name of the podcast?
It's like Radio Free
Europe?
It's Gladio. I don't know. I'll link it in the show notes.
Radio
show
Free notes. Something?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And it's something about Europe, so
okay.
it's in there. And it was a really good episode. It's like 2.5, it's a little over 2.5 hours long.
And you don't remember what the title of the episode was, even vaguely?
I mean, I spent the better part of today listening to the episode. but no, I don't.
Wow, I'm so glad that you brought that to the table. I listened to a thing.
I said I'm gonna link to it. It'll be in the show notes.
Okay.
It'll be in the show notes.
Well, hopefully we remember to do that better than we have in the past.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that.
Nope.
But I will try really hard to today.
All right, ready?
I'm ready.
That same day.
That same day.
Where whatever that day was.
His parent, or where
yeah, yeah,
his
yeah. He's at a party.
Brothers.
And
something like that.
There's yeah. a party with his guys. And, you know, the music's going boom-ts, 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 boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His
yeah, I
bass
thought it was
is booming.
Kumbaya.
No. And somebody's like, yo, your mom's here. And he's like, don't tell me who my mom is.
It was more like Kumbaya with swords, though.
No. I don't think they had swords.
No, he said to bring a sword. The thing Jesus said about swords.
Oh, yeah, but that was a metaphorical sword.
I know. I was trying to be funny, and then you fucked it all up.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me. We haven't even started reading this yet, but that reminds me. Remember when there was the withered hand?
Yes.
And then somebody else. Because we read it on Tuesday, which is when we do our live discords every Tuesday
right.
at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
Somebody in the Discord said that was totally Dumbledore's withered hand from Harry Potter 4, and that cracked my shit up.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he had a withered hand.
Right.
It was from the Bible. All right. So that same day that Jesus dissed his mom.
Yeah.
Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake.
Hmm. Had to think about his actions.
You go sit by that lake and think about what you did. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore. He's like,
fuck y'all. Leave me alone.
I'm trying to brood. Then he told them many things in parables. So that's what I think this chapter is about. Parables.
Wait.
Saying...
He was on the shore, and then they all gathered around, and he's like, I'm going out on a boat, and I'm going to speak to you from out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, fuck me. Okay, fine. I'll give you guys some fucking words.
Okay.
From out here on my fucking boat, since you won't leave me alone.
Is that like his stage? His boat is his stage?
My boat is my stage. Isn't that the name of a nothing?
No, correct. Nothing. Yes.
All right. So here's a parable. Ready?
I'm sure.
Red ink, so you know it's, he
sure,
said
Jesus,
it.
Sure. Jesus said it. Sure.
A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up.
As they would.
Right.
Yeah.
Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root.
Right.
Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Okay?
So he was saying,
good soil is good.
Good soil, it's going to be much better, and you'll get such a large return. No one's ever seen a return like this before. It's mm-hmm. the biggest return. It's the best.
It's the best. It's the biggest you've ever seen. Nobody has bigger...
crop returns than Jesus people.
Yeah. Just so you know, that parable is called the Parable of the Sower.
Okay.
Which is also the name of a book, obviously came from that, by Octavia Butler. And it is fucking fabulous. Highly recommend Parable of the Sower, Octavia Butler. Go read it now. You heard it here.
I just want to point one thing out here with regard to that parable. If you are if you're a person who sows seeds, right? If you are a person who plants, if you're a farmer, if you're a fucking farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, know not to throw your goddamn seeds on rocks, and you know
and
not to
thorns.
Throw them in fucking thorns.
Right.
Like it's such a silly parable.
But it's what they know. So he's saying, do you hear what I'm saying, you fucks?
Right.
Like I'm throwing words out, and I'm throwing them every which way to the wind, but only some will land on good soil.
Right. I get these just making a point, but.
It's a silly, easy, lazy point.
Right. These are those bumper stickerisms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, great.
All right. The disciples came to him. Did they come to him on his boat? And asked, why do you speak to the people in parables, bruh?
Yeah. Why?
I added the bruh.
And they said disciples, not apostles.
He did. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I heard in that episode that I was talking about earlier, that maybe the disciples, there was more of the disciples.
There were.
Than, you know, and the apostles. There was always 12 apostles that kind of rotate, apparently, a little bit.
Oh.
Because there's like some screwing up of that a little bit along the way. But there's always 12 apostles, obviously for the 12 tribes, probably, or something.
But the disciples were the disciples many.
Because could have been many, because that's where, like, Mary Magdalene comes from.
Well, that's, and,
like,
all his students. All that
other, yeah, right.
It's all his students. Whereas the 12 apostles were his specific commissioned representatives.
Right.
But those could have rotated,
I thought that was an interesting
thing. I didn't know that. Yeah. So, yeah, that is interesting. Like, those were positions. Like,
kind of, yeah.
Official positions or something. Okay. So anyway, they're like, why are you talking in parables, bruh? He replied in red ink, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, disciples, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. That's kind of like how it's expensive to be poor.
Okay.
Like, that's what that reminds me of.
And I think he's talking about the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven here, because in my understanding of Jesus, the less you have, the better off you are when you get into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, that's true.
So
this is why I speak to them in parables. And he's quoting from Isaiah here.
Yeah.
And I just, like, my eyes
scooted up. Which I'm sure is probably almost entirely wrong.
I don't know. All I only know that there's quote marks, and I was like, oh, Lord, who's he fucking quoting here? And then my eyes scooted ahead and saw Isaiah pop out. So he's quoting somebody. I'm assuming it's Isaiah. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes. Okay, that was the end of that quote.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.
Okay, so I think, if I, again, just kind of extrapolating here, but, like, it feels like he's saying knowledge of God. His disciples and his apostles or whatever, they have the knowledge of God, whereas these people, he's trying to explain that to them in such a way, because they don't understand, because they don't see, they don't hear.
He's like, I have to dummy down the message because they're dummies.
Right. It's God for idiots.
Yeah. He's like,
or God for dummies.
They're dodo brains.
Right.
They're silly, dumb people. I have to give them baby caca words.
Yeah.
And his followers are like, oh, right? For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
Well, I mean, let's take this from, you and I have had similar experiences where we know something that somebody else, and it feels like they're just, like, willingly don't want to learn or don't know. Mm. But it's more often the case that they just don't have enough knowledge to even make that leap to that point.
Right.
But from your point of view, it's just when I talk to anybody about computers, for example, that's a layman person.
Yeah.
It feels
my eyes glaze
to me
over.
Like they're, you know, not with it. They're not, they're kind of dumb about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they probably but are.
In reality,
because I am.
I know way more about computers than the average person.
Right.
You know, so those are those things where obviously Jesus, the Son of God, is going to know way more about God than these people that are on the shore that he's, you know, talking to from the boat.
Yeah.
And his disciples are apparently yelling at him from the shore. I'm not sure.
Right. So his disciples are like, why are you giving them stories?
Right.
Are they on the boat with him, or did they, like, row a separate boat out to him?
I'm going to just assume that since he's talking to people from the boat, he's not that far out, and they're just kind of talking to him from the shore, maybe.
So he's telling his people who are standing right next to the people he's talking to?
That would be my take, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, I don't see any other way to do it if you're on a boat.
I don't know. That all sounds weird. All right. Now we're, like, next paragraph.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, then, to what the parable of the sower means. Oh, he's going to explain it to us in his red ink.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Mm. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown.
Hmm. Okay. You're okay.
I mean,
I get that's like, kind of like the same way I interpreted said. It.
Yeah. Thank you for breaking that down. Like, I thought you were going to go deeper than good is good and bad is bad. Right, yeah. Simple is simple.
I thought that was pretty straightforward, but okay.
Okay.
And that's even 2,000 years, you know.
Yeah.
I still got it.
Yep.
So, okay.
Yep.
Moving along.
I'm a little gobsmacked because I was like, oh, he's going to explain it better. And
right.
I thought he was actually, nope, we got it.
I mean, he just contextualized it with regard to worshiping God.
We got it. We got exactly what he was talking about. Yeah. Okay. So we're not dummies, but the majority of the people in the crowd must have been.
I really don't feel like the Bible is all that difficult right now. Like, mm-mm. This is pretty simple stuff most of the time. Like, there's questions that I don't understand fully because of
context.
Time and context, yeah. But you know, the general speaking stuff is pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
you just got to pay attention to what he's saying.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
No.
All right, here's another parable. Ready?
I'm ready.
Jesus told them another parable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go from the boat.
Yeah,
in red ink.
Okay.
Okay. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn."
Hmm.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have harvest. Harvest. What?
This feels more like the kingdom of heaven is on earth still.
Yeah.
Because the parable is relating, like, why would there be bad?
Right.
In heaven, in quote-unquote Christian heaven, right?
Right.
So the bad would have to be the people here on earth.
Well, he's not saying this is the kingdom of heaven. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field.
Right, but he's still saying...
Okay, yeah.
That weed sprung up in that...
In that kingdom of heaven. So. Actually, yeah, I did some research on that for the Q&A, and I think we were not far off the mark there with our
Not to keep touching on it, but that episode I listened to also confirmed that as well.
Oh, yay. We're kind of smart sometimes, accidentally. Go us. All right, we're doing another parable now. Ready?
Yeah, yeah.
He told them another parable.
Oh, boy.
Here we go in red ink.
I know. I'm excited.
Mm.
Can't wait.
The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. I've heard that. Mm. I have heard that.
Okay.
Which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Lots of planting stuff here.
Yeah.
Ooh, we're doing another parable now.
He must be talking to farmers.
Mm-hmm.
He is next to water, so probably
he usually is talking
some
to farmers.
Good fertile land nearby, and you know, so.
We're doing another parable.
Another parable, okay.
He told them still another parable.
Oh boy.
In red ink, here we go. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour.
About 60 pounds.
Until it worked all through the dough.
Okay. How much yeast do you put in 60 pounds of dough?
I don't know, but I don't like any time they say a woman has yeast. It just doesn't feel right. All right. We're done with those for now.
Wait, that was the whole parable?
Those were all different parables.
Wait, what was that yeast one again?
It was just one sentence.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but it was
It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's weird. Okay.
I mean,
I feel like they could have been better phrased, maybe.
It mixes in.
Yeah, no, I get it, but like that's just a really bad parable.
It's so bad. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Moving on. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable.
Mm.
So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world.
Oh, my God.
That is baby caca doo-doo.
Oh, I hate it.
I could do this.
I really... So Jesus speaks in parables because somebody in the Old Testament said that somebody's going to speak in parables.
Yeah.
And that person that said that in the Old Testament, whoever that might be, which might be Isaiah, because they reference Isaiah all the time or whatever, mm-hmm. probably didn't even mean it about that time. It probably referenced something immediately happening the next day
mm-hmm.
or next something. Week or next month or next year.
Right. In the immediate future.
It certainly wasn't hundreds of years later.
No.
So.
This is bullshit. I'm sorry.
It really is.
And not only that, but they're like such stupid parables at that.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's talked to people outside of parables, though, also.
Mm-hmm. But these people, right now, he's only talking to them in parables while he's in his boat. Mm-hmm. On this day, what he's doing right now is talking to them only in parables. But I tell you what, part of our Q&A, I'm going to come back with a few good parables so that we can have an example of what a good parable would be. Okay?
Yeah.
Because these are stupid and I hate them. And I don't mind going to the extra work. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to find some good parables.
That's good.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Next section.
Sure. Is this just like all parables?
I don't know.
Is it paragraphs of parables?
It's a little bit of story. Here we go.
All right.
Then he left the crowd. Oh, he got off the boat and left the crowd.
Okay.
And went into his house.
Yeah.
His disciples came to him and said, excuse me, sir. Question. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.
Seriously?
So his disciples didn't understand. They were like,
wow.
Hey, so by the by.
Jesus needs some new disciples.
Right? I'm like, did you pick up the dumbest people on the planet? Tucci gang is not very bright.
Well, keep in mind, these are the disciples, not the apostles.
They're his students.
Right. They're students, but, you know, it might not be the 12, you know.
No, I know. Cool. All right. So he's speaking now in red ink, and he's going to break it down.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay?
Sure.
The Son of Man, capital S, capital M.
That's another thing they mentioned in that episode. The Son of Man, apparently in this, like when Jesus is speaking,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people think that he's referencing the coming Messiah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So not himself?
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I thought that was, I was like, oh, damn.
Okay.
Because think about it. He doesn't really reference himself, at least in this. It's all convoluted, but he does, like, his speeches often refer to the Son of Man in such a way that it's referencing a coming Messiah.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
That's all. It's a well known take on his own speeches that gets twisted around later by Paul and different, you know, some of the gospels, but they get maybe interjected with information after the fact that fix all this stuff. And
okay.
And keep in mind the gospels were written after his death anyway. So mm-hmm.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
That throws a little bit of doubt on what's happening here.
Well, and it goes back to the whole kingdom of heaven is on earth as opposed to.
Yeah.
Heaven and all that, like it shakes up a lot of things with regard to mm-hmm. Christianity.
It does.
And
I think the Christians don't get it.
You know what would be nice? If the Christians just were willing to question and grow.
Mm.
That's all.
That would be cool.
If they were willing to accept that, hey, maybe we didn't know everything.
Maybe like, we read it wrong.
Right.
Maybe we didn't read it.
Right. And moreover, we're willing to study it with a critical eye. Because right. Why wouldn't we want to know the most about our God?
Wouldn't you want to learn the way of the Lord, the word of the Lord?
It makes the most sense to me.
Right.
You know, like right. If you want to follow God, you should want to know what he intended.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know what he intended, you should be willing to question what, you know, the norms are that are given to you on the everyday. Because if you're not, then you're just accepting somebody else's idea of what God is instead of actually doing the work yourself.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm what do I know about God? I probably quite a bit, honestly.
All right. So here's what Jesus says. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Always with the fucking angels.
Angels are just, they're reaping the crops, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weep. Wait, the Son of Man, some guy, not me,
right.
Will send out his angels.
See?
Yeah. And they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah, right?
They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Hmm.
Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
And here's the other thing that was like brought to my attention. Like you got to keep in mind, apparently Jesus was very much a end is nigh type.
Rabble rouser.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he, yeah. As far as he's concerned, the end could have come the next day, the next week, the next month.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't like some further way down the thing that was happening. This is something that you need to get right now because this shit is close.
As they all were, let's be honest.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but that's how they were rallying people around them so feverishly, is that they had them all believing that this was happening
any second now.
Yeah.
All right, he continues.
Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field.
Hmm. Okay.
Then he continues.
Yeah.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Okay.
Then he continues.
I'm on the edge of my seat here.
I know.
Yeah.
Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. Tell me what else it's like, Jesus. It's like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish.
Okay.
When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore.
Yeah.
Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
He keeps saying, we gonna keep the good and toss the bad. Keep the good and toss the bad. Bad is bad and yuck, yuck.
Yeah,
yucky bad is bad is yuck.
Bad are not gonna have a good time.
Right?
Apparently.
Like, got it. We got it.
Yeah.
We got it. If they don't get it, that sounds like it's a them problem. Not
good is good and bad is bad.
And we like good. We don't like bad.
We like good. This is such a simplistic message.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think kindergartners would get this.
Yeah. You don't need to repeat it 15 times.
Well, apparently he did.
And these are to the people that are his disciples.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, they're the ones that came up and were like, can you tell us what you mean? All right. So then he asked them, have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied.
Oh, thank God.
He said to them in red ink, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple, a student of mine, in the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of heaven.
Okay. Is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Okay. I think the kingdom of heaven is on earth.
I mean, that's right.
Yeah.
Like, I was saying that from like the first get-go when he started talking, but like it's becoming more and more apparent.
Yeah.
And after, like, look, I don't normally listen to other stuff, but like this is the person that suggested this has suggested this multiple times, and I was like, okay, fine, I'm gonna listen to it. Thank you, Mike. But it was a really great episode that confirmed a lot of the ideas that I had. Mm-hmm. And
which is probably why that guy was recommending it to you.
Yeah, no, and expanded on some other ideas that I didn't quite put together fully. So, I mean, it was a really cool episode. And anyway, I don't mean to keep harping on it, but like it's a very relevant to this chapter specifically. So
Wow. Okay, so the kingdom of heaven is on earth.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're carrying on now. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown, which he hates, right? It's the one that he's from that starts with a C that I can't remember.
Yeah.
And in the last chapter, he was trashing all his towns. Remember?
Right.
He was like, this town sucks. This town sucks too. These towns suck so bad because they didn't repent that they're worse than Sodom. Fuck these towns.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, so coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked.
Wait, miraculous power? Okay, are we going back to miracles here, or is the miraculous power understanding how to say a parable the same way three times with slightly different versions?
He's healing and teaching. He's teaching and healing and teaching and healing and healing and teaching.
That's how Christians would have us interpret it, but my understanding is that none of this is very
special. They think he is, though.
Sure.
So they're like, whoa, gadzooks, take a look at this guy.
Some people think a sugar pill is excellent, too. So, you know.
Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where, then, did this man get all these things? Wow-wee! And they took offense at him.
What?
But Jesus said to them in red ink,
okay,
a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. The end.
You know what? He didn't do many miracles there because he didn't do many miracles.
Right. And they were like, get a load of this guy. And he's like, oh, fuck y'all.
Look, if somebody was truly doing miracles, it would have been written about at the fucking time. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but it would have.
I'm sorry, but it was in the Bible.
It was not. That was written after his death.
I know.
And that is not at all correct.
Yeah. It's not
at all correct. I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm just saying like, I want to make sure we're clear on that. It was not written during his time. And it was not written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Maybe John. John might have written some, I guess. Possibly. But
John,
we'll cross
John that bridge. John the Apostle or John the Baptist?
John the Apostle. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul?
No, John.
John. Okay. No, so never mind. None of them wrote that shit.
Right.
I was thinking of Paul.
Yeah,
Paul,
you were thinking of Paul. Which we'll get to Paul later. Which is a different guy.
Yeah. There's too many Christian names
in here. There's too many Beatles.
All right. I don't really have anything to add. Like, those were dumb.
Those were dumb. That's our erudite conclusion.
Yeah.
Those are dumb.
Look, we've already said multiple times we are not scholars or
academics.
There you go. That's your line. That was dumb.
That was dumb.
We'll get into the scholar academic bullshit when we get to the Q&A.
Which is the next episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do we know how many Q&As we're going to have to do?
I'm suspecting with all the material, it'll probably be another two-parter.
Okay. Yeah, we're having to do a lot of research with the New Testament.
Because they keep quoting the Old Testament, and then I feel like it's necessary to pull in the quotes. Right. And, like, but what did that mean at the time that it was written in the Old Testament? And then also, like, what the fuck is Jesus saying?
Yeah. So, and luckily, with this chapter, I think it'll be a little less, because he basically says the same parable three times, like, three times. So, like, he does the whatever. It's dumb.
It is dumb.
So I really don't see, like, a whole lot of research having to be done in this one. Though he did quote the Bible, the Old Testament a couple of times.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Those off the you cover. Never know.
Right. All right. That was Matthew chapter 13.
Little Maddie.
And we will be back next time with...
Q&A. Maybe Saturday. Definitely Sunday.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.